Luke chapter number 15 is where we're going to be this morning. Luke chapter number 15. And, of course, I was not going to be the speaker this morning. We were going to have the Johnsons. The Johnsons started a church over in the Garner area, but he also works as a lineman. And as you can probably guess, he's a little busy today. So let's all say it if we can. Luke chapter number 15. Luke chapter number 15. And we will jump in verse number 11. As I was thinking about homecoming, this passage kept coming to mind as I heard that Donnie wouldn't be able to make it. And so, of course, as you can see on the slide, the theme tonight, or theme today, rather, come home this homecoming. Luke chapter number 15, and we'll jump in verse number 11. Here's what it says. And he said, that's Jesus speaking, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them, rather, said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that fall to me. He divided unto them his living. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will rise, go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he rose, came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. The son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand, shoes on his feet. Bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. Let us eat and be merry. Amen. Us Baptists like that part. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now, his elder son was in the field. And as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. He was very angry. And what's the next phrase? Would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid, that I may make merry with my friends. Of course, kids speaking of a fatted calf, like the brother had. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me. All that I have is thine. It was meet or fitting, appropriate, that we should make merry and be glad. For this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. Let's ask the Lord's blessing as we consider what we just read. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you. We're thankful for your word again. Lord, I pray that you'd speak to us, challenge us today, we pray. Lord, I pray that you would both, Lord, reach out to that one perhaps here that may be distant from your house, distant from your relationship with you. Lord, whether it's distant externally or whether it's distant internally, Father, I pray that you would reach to the heart that needs today to come home. Lord, I pray that this would be more than just a homecoming that celebrates the years here at Pleasant Plains, but Lord, that this would be a spiritual homecoming where people come to where they need to be, to the home that they have in you. Lord, work in a mighty way in our hearts. Help us to be honest with ourselves and be honest with you today. Lord, I firmly believe that this passage is where you've guided me. Lord, I firmly believe that through everything that's going on, Lord, this is what we need to hear today. So, Father, I pray that you would give us hearts to hear and hearts to obey. In all these things we pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. As I mentioned, as we were getting into the scripture reading, when I knew that Donnie couldn't make it, at first we were kind of uncertain, but when I knew that Donnie couldn't make it, I was debating, really thinking about what to preach for homecoming. And I thought about just preaching about God's faithfulness over the years. I thought about preaching a message just focusing on God, how God's been good and all that. The Lord kept bringing me back to this passage. I actually, as a matter of fact, I was working in the office and kind of thinking through it. And as I was looking, I was kind of doing some design work and things along that line. And as I was typing out homecoming, I thought about the phrase, come home. As a matter of fact, the song, come home, ye that are weary, come home, just kept ringing in my mind as I was thinking about this homecoming. Can I say probably one of the best homecomings in the entire Bible is found in this simple parable. Now, you've probably heard the parable. No doubt you've heard messages on the parable. I've even preached from this parable in our series on the parables a few years ago. So you've probably heard about parables, and you've probably heard about this, but today what we're going to do is we're going to focus in specifically on what's going on here in the realm of a homecoming. First off, we're going to look at leaving home. That is why the first son left home. Then number two, we're going to look at a longing for home, a desire for home as he began to realize what he had done. And then finally, the loving home that we have in Christ. First off, let's look at leaving home. As you know in this story, there are multiple reasons why this son leaves home. But specifically, let's focus on three here that are clear from this passage. Number one, his focus that caused him to leave home. And by the way, can I say, this kind of focus can cause any of us to get out of God's house, to get out of serving God, and to drift away into the world. Would you not agree? This challenge of this man certainly could apply to us. Three simple foci, if you will, as we look at this. First off, you had to focus on possessions. Look at verse number 12. Verse number 11, of course, says a certain man had two sons. Verse 12, the younger of them said to his father, Father, what's the next phrase? Give me the portion of goods. Good, thank you, one person. That was great. Give me the portion of goods. So clearly, what's he focused on? He's focused on stuff, right? He's focused on stuff. He's focused on what he can get out of his dad. Now, I don't know about you, but if I said this to my dad, it would not go well. I'll just say it that way. It would not go well. But here, God, of course, being the picture of the Father, lets him go. Does he not? Give me the portion of goods that fall to me. He's basically saying, hey, Dad, I can't wait until you die. You know, sell your stuff now and give it to me. Okay? I want to enjoy it now. Okay? I want to live it up now. Number one, he's a focus on possessions. Number two, I see in this passage, he has a focus on the present. He wants it now. Rather than waiting, as would be the natural order, waiting until he receives the inheritance, waiting until the father passes, waiting until the father's choice is to give. No. Rather than doing that, he wants it now. As a matter of fact, in verse number 13, it takes a step further. And not many days after the young son gathered all together. So the idea is he had to go and he had cows and he had all these things. So he gathers everything, sells it all off. And not many days later, verse number 13, he goes into a far country and there wastes his substance with riotous living. Number one, he's focused on possessions, what he can get out of this life. Number two, he's focused on the present right now. As a matter of fact, the idea of prodigal, if you think of that term, you've probably heard that term before. Prodigal just simply means wasteful. And that's really what he was. He was only focused on the present. And by the way, can I say, if we're not careful, we'll live our lives focused on the present, will we not? We'll live our lives focused on our jobs, focused on our cars, focused on our house, focused on how much money we have in the bank account, focused on everything but what really matters, and that's eternity. Would you not agree with that? It's very easy to focus on the present, yes? It's very easy to focus on possessions. Number three I see in this passage, his focus was on pleasures. That as verse 13 ends, he wasted his substance with riotous living. Riotous is an interesting word. The word literally is a compound word, a, which means not in the Greek language, and sozo, which is the Greek word for saved. So literally, riotous means not saved living. Okay? Now, there's multiple ways that could be interpreted. You could say that it's life that a saved person would live, and certainly that would apply. I would agree. Certainly, this man lived like an unsaved person. Yes? I would say beyond that, this person was, this young man, was also living in a way that didn't last, right? We've already talked about that. The simple fact is that this man, for whatever reason, left the pleasure, left the joy of his father's house, left the relationship, left everything, so that he could go live his life with his possessions for the present, enjoying the pleasures of life. And certainly this man probably enjoyed the pleasures of life. Seems from this passage that the father had a great deal of goods, so much so that even in the midst of a sore famine that we see, this man still had a fatted calf and his servants were still well fed. So certainly he had a lot going for him, but he left it all to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Can I say, friends, no matter what that pleasure is, whether that's sinful pleasure, whether that's some kind of secular nature, whatever it is, if we're not careful, we will leave the goodness of God. Y'all with me? We will leave God's grace. We will leave the place of comfort and the place of safety and the place of protection. We will leave that, whether that's this church or whether you have another church home, whatever it is, you will leave that for the temporary pleasures of sin. No doubt, this man probably lived it up. He spent money. He probably did all the things that this world would do today. If they had clubs, he probably went to them. If they had bars, he would be there. We find later that he wasted his living with harlots, the other brother knows. So certainly this man lived it up for the pleasures of sin. Number one, his focus. Number two, I see in this passage is foolishness. His foolishness. His foolishness simply is this. First off, that he didn't see the blessings of his father. Specifically, that everything that this young man wanted, he got because of his dad. Right? Like I said before, if I went to my dad, if I called my dad on the phone, and I said, hey, Dad, you know, I'm the oldest son. I'm probably in the will, I hope. Dad, I would like it if you just kind of sold everything off now, because, I mean, you know, you're 59, you're going to be around for a while. So if you just sold everything off now and gave me the portion now, that'd be great. What's my dad going to do? He's going to cut me out of the will, okay? I'm out of the will now, okay? Number two, my dad's going to not be happy with me. But yeah, you see, in this case, not only does the father not cut him off, which he could do, not only does the father listen to the son, but catch verse 12. Look at it. When I stop, you read the next word. Verse number 12. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth. What's the next two words? To me. Verse number 12, continue. And he divided unto them, what's the next word? His living. Now, of course, those are italicized. That means they're provided. But I think certainly in this case, it's appropriate. Because the possessions that the son got were not the son's possessions, were they? They were the dad's possessions. You with me? They were the blessings that were afforded because of the father. The father was good. The father was gracious. The father provided. The father worked. The father gave him everything. And yet he treated it as nothing. He wanted to live off of it. Can I say, friends, if we're not careful, we'll live that way, do we not? We feel like we pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps, not knowing that the God that made our hands is the one that helped us pull ourselves up. We need God and God's grace. talk to people on a regular basis, and they have this feeling that they made it on their own. Can I tell you, friend, if God wasn't there, if he wasn't giving you breath, if he wasn't enabling your heart to beat, if he wasn't giving you the mentality or the work ethic or the ability to work, you would have nothing if it weren't for our Heavenly Father. You all with me, folks? It's the blessing of the Father that let the Son have any blessings at all. It's foolishness. Number two, the uncertainty of his future. He, as we already looked at, wasted his substance in righteous living. Verse number 14, when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land. But you find that back home, the dad's still fine. But this man is living so much for the present that he doesn't take into account the future. By the way, can I say we can do that, can't we? If you're not careful, you'll live for the present so much that you don't care about the future. The greatest future that you should care about is heaven. The salvation of your soul is the greatest thing that should concern you. Number two, the riches that we have in Christ, the placement that we have there, the people that we bring to heaven should concern you. Number one, I see his focus. Number two, I see his foolishness. Number three, I see his findings. As he lives there in this far country, there's a few things that he finds. First off, we find that he lost his rank. In verse number 14, he's gone and he's been living it up. He had all this money, but he's wasted it all. In verse number 14, there's a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. Now that in want is an interesting phrase. It has the idea of to be behind. The picture, if you will, is of a race, right? And he's starting to slack off, okay? Imagine, if you will, after the meal today, we're going to have the meal after a little bit, and let's just say that I say, okay, now that we have the meal, now that we're done with the meal, we're all going to run a mile. Praise the Lord. And we're running, you know, and some of us are ahead and some of us are not ahead, okay? And we're running, and so some people begin to fall behind. That's a picture. He's been running for the rat race, but now he's starting to fall behind in the rat race. He's been running, trying to get stuff, but now he's looking at his bank account and he's realizing there's not as much there. He's looking at his 401k. They didn't have 401ks, but let's just imagine. He's looking at everything that he has and he sees less and less there. Can I tell you, friends, no matter how high you rank in this world's mind, no matter how much money you have, whether you're a millionaire or whether you only have a few pennies to your name, can I tell you, friends, if you live for this world, you will lose rank one day. You will fall behind. At least in death, because frankly, none of us take any of it with us. Right? I remember an interesting story. A guy that was super rich, he went and he, in his will, he said, he was a self-made man, or so he said. So he said he wanted to have all of his money buried with him. And so he went, and he was actually buried, literally, he was buried in his Cadillac. So he's buried in his Cadillac. They build this huge thing. They put him in the Cadillac, and the preacher goes up to the wife and says, so are you actually doing his wishes? And she said, well, I have to. I have to do his wishes. So she said, I put a check in. Right? The reality is we all will lose rank one day. Don't live for this world, folks. Don't live for this world. Number two, he lost rank. Number two, he lost relationships. Before, he felt like he so had it that he could just blow off his father and his brother. Here in verse number 15, you see that he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. The picture here is very interesting. Let's see. Andrew, come on up here. Okay, I'm trying not to use Joshua as an illustration. Andrew, come on up here. Here's the picture, okay? The picture is almost of just trying to stick next to somebody. Literally, the term is glue, okay? So wherever Andrew goes, I'm going, right? Does that make sense? That's the picture, okay? This is really comforting, isn't it? Yeah, you love this, don't you? Okay, that's the idea. Catch it. This man was so desperate that he found anybody, and he just wanted to be right next to him. Why? Because he's desperate. He has nobody. He has no family. He has no friends. The friends that he might have had when he had money are all gone. Now he finds somebody and he just wants to be with them. So much so, catch it in verse number 15, that this man didn't even want him around. So he throws him out with the pigs. The pigs are out there. He says, well, okay, I guess you can feed the pigs. But even there, he doesn't even give him food. He has lost all of his rank. Number two, he's lost all of his relationship. There's no one that cares for him. There's no one that values him, except for the father back home. There's no one in this new country where he thought he had it all, where he had all the pleasures, where he had all the joy, where he had all this entertainment. He had nothing left. Nothing. Thanks, Andrew. You can have a seat. He lost his rank. Number two, he lost his relationship. Number three, he lost his respect. Verse number 16. I find 16 very sad. He had to go and feed swine, we find in verse number 15. If you've ever fed pigs, you know that's nasty work. Especially, it would be nasty in a time of famine. Pigs can eat anything, pretty much. No doubt this man was feeding these pigs the slop that was inedible. The slop that would literally kill humans, pigs can digest. Look at verse 16. No. And he would fain, means he wishes he would, he thought about, he contemplated, he wanted to, he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat. Catch the rest of verse 16. Catch it. Don't miss it. And what? No man would give him. Catch it. This guy has gone from having all the money, having all the pleasure, having all the stuff, to being less valuable than some pigs. Y'all with me? That the slop, the refuse, the rotten, the disgusting, the word here is husk, literally, you know what that means, right? Okay, the stuff that you couldn't eat. Okay? If someone has corn, okay? The corn husk, if you will. He wanted to eat that and people wouldn't even let him. Can you picture this man? He's going, he's feeding these pigs and he's trying to just get a little bit and the boss, this guy that he's been trying to join up with, the guy that he's been trying to be buddies with, said, no, you better not do that. Can you picture the boss sitting over this guy, stopping him from eating anything? You all with me, folks? That's what the world does to you. It's the world will do to anyone. It may be enjoyable for a season. I can't tell you, folks, it doesn't last. You all with me? Those of you who have been out there, you know that to be true, yes? Right? Oh, you may have fun for a while, but it doesn't last. Number one, leaving home. Number two, see in this passage, longing for home. Verse number 17. I love the first phrase of verse number 17. It says there, and when he came to himself, the idea of this word is so profound, it's so amazing. First off, consider. How do you get back, preacher? Maybe you're sitting here and you feel like that. You feel like you've been living for everything else and it just, everything comes up short. There's nothing, there's no satisfaction. Everywhere you turn, it's a door. You just feel like no one cares, no one loves you. You have nothing. How do you get to where you need to be? Number one, consider. First off, consider the insanity of a fleshly life. The phrase came to himself literally has the idea of coming back into your right mind. It's literally a term that's often used to describe insane people. Literally, what the Bible is saying is that this young man was acting insane. Why? Because here he is in the pig slop, wanting the pig slop. Y'all with me? And you find in verse number 17 very clearly, very, very clearly, you find in verse number 17 that back home there's plenty. There's satisfaction, there's joy, there's provision. The insanity of a fleshly life, can I tell you, friends, it's insane to live for the flesh when you can live for the Lord. It's crazy to live for the flesh when you can live for the Lord. Number two, it's an invitation to a fulfilled life. Verse number 17 says very clearly, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. Literally, this man is about to die from not eating.
And he thinks about it, and he's like, why am I doing this to myself? There's no point.
How do you come back home? Number one, consider.
Number two,
correct. Verse number 18. Speaking to himself, he says, I will arise, go to my father. Will say unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven before thee, no more worthy to call thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. Notice what he corrects. First off, he acknowledges his sin. He sinned against heaven and before thee. And by the way, can I tell you, part of coming to the Lord, whether it's for salvation or whether it's for you getting right if you are a child of God and have been straying, either way, you have to correctly acknowledge the fact that you have sinned against the Lord. If you don't acknowledge that, you'll never come back. You'll never come back. Can you imagine if this man came to the father and said, hey, Dad, I'm out of money. You better give me some more. Can you imagine? First off, he had to acknowledge. Number two, he had to humble himself. Amen. I see in this passage, verse number 19, he said, I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. The idea is, hey, I don't deserve what Dad can give me, but I'm going to ask anyways. And by the way, can I just say, none of us deserve God's forgiveness. You with me? Not one of us deserve it. You get the best person in this room, whoever that is, you pull them up here, I guarantee you we could give 1,000 reasons why that person doesn't deserve what Christ did for them. You with me, folks? We don't deserve it. Number one, consider. Consider. Number two, correct. Number three, I see in this passage very clearly a change. Look at verse number 20. And don't miss it because it's minor. Verse number 20. And he what? Arose. And what? Came to his father. Can I tell you, friend? I've talked to a lot of people over the years, and they say, well, preacher, yeah, I know I need shape. Yeah, I know my sin's wrong, and I know that. I know this behavior. I got to stop this. But what do? They keep wallowing in the pigsty. They keep desiring the husks that the world can have to offer. You with me, friends? Until you change, until you get out of where you are and go to the Father, until you realize that I can't save myself, I can't correct it, I have nothing, I need God. And until you take the step to go to Him, you will never, never find the forgiveness that you need. You all with me, folks? It ain't going to happen. Can you imagine Him sitting there and being like, well, maybe I can try and get a little bit more. Maybe if I talk to this guy a little bit more, maybe he'll give me a few husks. Can you imagine the insanity of that? But yet I talk to people every week. And that's how they live. Right? You do too. They desire the next little empty husk that the world can have. Number one, you've seen leaving home, why we leave home. Frankly, folks, I can say with all certainty, a lot of times we do leave home. We leave the protection, the safety, the fellowship that we have with the Lord to go after the world. Number two, I see His longing for home. But number three, I'm glad the story doesn't end there. I see His loving home. And by the way, can I say that's what every church should be, a loving home. Y'all with me, folks? Every church should be a loving home. A place where we love people that have gone astray. First off, I see the loving Father. In verse number 20, you see, and he arose, came to his father. But when he was yet what, folks? Say the next phrase. A great way off. You know what that tells me? That tells me that this dad's watching for him. In the midst of all his busyness, in the midst of all the time that's elapsed, it seems that it's been some time. Later on, the other son says that he's been serving him for many years, so perhaps it's been even years. Sometimes we think of this as a few months. Perhaps it's been years. You see this dad waiting, longing, desiring for him to come home. Can I tell you, friend, your father, your loving father, whether you're a child of God or whether it's the God that created you, a loving father is waiting in heaven, waiting for you to come home. He wants you. He wants you. By the way, can I just say real quick, for those of us that have been saved for a while, Don't get over the fact that he still wants you. You with me, friends? Been saved since I was 13. I am now 38. As you could see earlier from Billy, I'm not good at math, but something like 25 years. Been saved for 25 years. I've heard numerous times that God wants me, that God loves me, that God cares for me. And you know what you can do if you're not careful? That can become start to harden your heart. Well, we'll talk about that in a second with the other brother. That can harden your heart. Well, yeah, I know God wants me. I know God wants me. First off, he's waiting. Number two, he's wanting. He wants him. Verse number 20. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, and ran, fell on his neck, and kissed him. The idea of these verbs is that he did it almost in a consistent pattern. The picture is that he runs, he grabs his son, he almost falls on him like he can't even stand it anymore. He keeps hugging him, he keeps kissing him, he keeps loving him. He loves his son as he missed him. He wanted him for all this time, and his son had been so far away for so long. He wanted his son, can I tell you? No matter how far you've strayed, no matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, God still wants you. God still loves you. He still cares for you. He can still save you. He can still deliver you. He still wants you. Christian friend, do not miss it. He still wants you. A loving father. Number two, I see a loving forgiveness in this passage. I love what happens in verse number 21. I love it. The son goes into his little speech that he had been working on. We know that it was a far country. Perhaps he left on a donkey. He comes home by foot. Perhaps this whole time he was going and working on this speech he drafted. You know that because he says it pretty much word for word. Father, I've sinned against heaven, and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But before he ever gets to the phrase, make me as one of your hired servants, here's what the father says. But the father said to his servants, catch it, don't miss it. When the son was going to say, hey, I just want to be a servant, the dad says, no, you're still a son. Can I tell you, friends, if you've gone astray, if you've gone away from the Lord, God still loves you as a son. Amen. He still cares for you. He still wants you. Loving forgiveness. Verse number 22, he gives him a new appearance. He says to his servants, bring forth the best robe, put it on him, put a ring in his hand, shoes on his feet. The picture very clearly, this man no doubt was still covered in the filth of the pigsty. He had perhaps rags on. He had no shoes on his feet, it seems. Certainly not a ring. A ring was a signet of what family you belong to, and he'd given all that up. So he has nothing. So now he has a new appearance. Number two, I see that he has a new provision. Verse number 23. Bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. Let us eat and be merry. Whereas before he was in the faraway country and they wouldn't even give him the husk, the empty part that no human can eat. Now the father goes and takes the fatted calf and gives it to him. Why? Because he matters to God even though he didn't matter to them. A new appearance, a new provision. Number three, a new joy. Verse number 23 and verse number 24, both end with be merry. In verse number 24, he said, my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. The picture very clearly is the joy, the rejoicing that's found in this family now that they know that the son is back. Can I tell you, when you come back to the Lord, you will find, number one, a loving father. Number two, you'll find a loving forgiveness. That God is willing to take any who simply come to him. The Bible says it this way, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out, Jesus said. That means there's no reason, there's no way, there's no thing that you've done that would cause God to forget you, to cast you aside, to say you got enough chances, I'm done with you. No, if you come to God, if your heart is stirring and you say, hey, I need to come to God, I need to get back to where I need to be, I need to return to the Father, then let me tell you, the Father will still take you. A loving Father, a loving forgiveness. Number three, I see a loving fellowship in this passage. I wish the story ended there in verse number 27, but it doesn't. Verse number 28, or what happens, the other brother, he's been working out in the field, toiling all this time, perhaps years, serving the master, trying to do what he needs to do, trying to be diligent. Verse number 27, he asked one of the servants. The servant says, "My brother's come. Father's killed the fatted calf because he received him safe and sound." You see earlier, all the servants are happy. The dad's happy. Everyone seems to be happy. But look at verse number 28. And he was what? Angry. And would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. That word has the idea of to call near and say, hey, come on, buddy. Come on. He answered and said to his father, "Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgress I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid, that I may make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, to devour thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf." Catch it, don't miss 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 it. In this story, there's not just one son that didn't come home. Do you see it? Look back at verse 28 again. And he was angry, and what's the next four words? Read it, verse 28. And he was angry and what? Would not go in. There's two sons that wouldn't come home. As a matter of fact, there's only one son that does come home in the story. See, the prodigal, he knew where he needed to be. He messed up. He blew it pretty bad. But he found a loving fellowship with his father. He found that he needed his dad. But you see, the one that's self-righteous, the one that thinks that he has it all together, the one that sits back and feels like he's never done anything wrong. You saw it from his own mouth here. The one that has never at any time transgressed his father's commandment. Seriously? Yeah, right. Okay, I grew up with two brothers and a sister. They transgressed mom and dad's commandments all the time. I never did, but they did. Of course he did. But the one that's self-righteous, he won't go home. Can I tell you, friends, I may be talking to a number of people, maybe talking to some people that were the prodigals that have gone far away into the far country, but I may be talking to some people whose heart is far away. Who won't go in. Who won't come near. I tell you, God the Father is coming and entreating you. He's asking you. He's begging you to come. Don't stay out. Come near. I see his inappropriate anger. He was angry. Would not go in. But I see an invitation. An invitation to joy. An invitation to fellowship. And in verse number 32... He says, verse number 31, "Son, thou art ever with me. All that I have is thine." He's saying, hey, son, you never wasted everything. You still got it all. He still has the inheritance. As a matter of fact, he had double portion as the older son. He still had it all. But yet he's worried and concerned that this other person has wasted his life and yet God wanted him back. Can I tell you, I've been in churches a lot, and I've seen a lot of people that get upset when someone comes to a church, when someone comes to serve in the Lord and someone tries to get right, and there's still a lot of dirt from the world on them. It's not a time to be upset. That's a time to have joy. Verse 32, "It was meet, fitting, appropriate that we should make merry and be glad. For this thy brother was dead and is alive again, was lost and is found." And the story just ends there. We don't know. We don't know if the other brother comes in. We don't know. We don't know what happens. Maybe the other brother gets upset at the dad. Maybe the other brother decides to leave with what's left of his inheritance. We don't know what happened, but we do know how we respond. Because the reality is this, folks. The truth of our lives is that we are all called to leave. Y'all with me? We're all called to drift. We're all called to stray. We have a loving home. I'm not talking about this church home, although certainly I would hope that this would apply. It's my endeavor as a pastor to make this church a loving home that loves sinners and reaches sinners. You all with me, folks? I hope so. But wherever you are, whether you're the one that's in the world or whether you're one that kind of wishes he was but still is here, come home. Come home. Every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around. This passage, although often applied as a salvation passage, isn't necessarily just a salvation passage, although you could certainly apply it. God the Father loves you and he wants you. He cares about you. He wants you to come home. Friend, if you don't know for sure that heaven is your home, you can know for sure. We sang a lot of songs about being a child of God, a child of the King. You can become a child of God, a child of the King, simply by receiving him, by believing in your heart that Jesus can forgive you of your sins. Acknowledging your sin, yes, I can't save myself. Believing that he alone, through his death and resurrection, he alone can take your sin away, and choosing put your faith in him. Say, Pastor, I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. I don't know that I'm saved. I just don't know. I got questions. I got doubts. I just don't know. I want to catch you. I want to talk to you about it. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to call you forward. But I want to help you. And I don't want to miss it. Okay? It's going to be busy. We're going to have the meal after and all that stuff. I don't want to miss it. And you go on your daily way and stay in the pigsty. Say, Pastor, I just need to talk to you about it. I just need to get this settled. I just need to know. Pastor, I want to talk to you about it. I want you to catch me after service. If that's you, do pop your hand up. I want to help you. I do. Anybody? I don't know for sure. I want to talk to you about it. Anybody at all? I want to see your hand. I didn't see any. Might be behind it, somebody. Anybody at all? I want to talk to you about it. I want to get it settled. Second question, main focus of this message. How do you have in some way been the first son that we looked at? The son that's gone into the world and you found the world to be empty and you knew you returned to a loving father. Not asking if you've done all the things that he did. Certainly the list could vary, and that's partially why I think Jesus doesn't give the whole list. But in some way, you've been seeking after the world. You've been seeking after pleasures. You've been seeking after things. You've been seeking after this present world and not that which is to come. And you found it empty, and you just need to return to the Lord. You need to come home to your loving Father. You say, Pastor, that's me. Can you pray for me that I need to return home? I need to make that step. If that's you, would you raise your hand? I need to make that step. Good, thank you. Several hands. Thank you. Final question. Be honest about this, because God knows your heart, friend. How many of you would say, hey, I'm the last son? I may not have gotten into the world. I may not be doing all the crazy things that the prodigal son did. But I don't have the love that I used to. I don't appreciate my father like I did. I kind of wish I could do some of that stuff. I know I can't, but I kind of, deep down in my heart, I kind of honestly sometimes wish I did. I said, Pastor, I just need to get my heart back. I need to come home. It may not be as long of a journey, but I need to come home. If that's you, would you raise your hand? I need to come home. I need to take that step. May not be as far as the other, but I need to come home. If that's you, would you raise your hand? Let's stand. Let's go before the Lord. Let's pray for peace. Heavenly Father, you've seen the hands. You know the hearts. You know what's going on in each circumstance, in each situation. I can't begin to go into all the details. I don't know. Lord, you do. Lord, for those that have drifted into the world, have drifted into worldly thinking, worldly behaviors, worldly activities, I've been living for this present world rather than that which is to come, rather than life that is eternal. Help them to see that this world is but husks. It never satisfies. It will never fulfill. But you want them to have life more abundant. God, help them to return to you. God, for the second group that frankly sometimes I find myself in, and I've heard the stories about Jesus loving me so many times, and I know the facts that you are a loving, compassionate, caring God, and yet oftentimes I find myself just sitting back and just serving and doing the labor and doing the work of the ministry without the heart of the ministry. God, convict me, and God, correct me, and the many others I'm sure that could represent with that. Lord, I pray that you would help us to come. Lord, help this homecoming to be a time where we don't just celebrate, although certainly we will and are doing that. Not just a time where we remember, although that's great and wonderful. But Lord, a time where we come to our Father that loves us and wants us. Strengthen us in these things that we've heard, we pray. Challenge us and correct us. Be with those that raise their hands. Give them special grace in this invitation time. And Lord, be with all of us to be honest with you, to correct what needs to be corrected. As Josh plays, you seek the Lord.